Welcome! Happy National Signing Day to everyone. This is the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We are live from the tap on a Wednesday because it's National Signing Day. Happy February to everybody. And thanks for coming out. We have a huge crowd out here. If you're listening to us over the radio, welcome as well. If you are here live at the tap with us, don't forget, they've got awesome food. I know the line's getting a little long, so go get your food order in. They have the $7.99 burger basket. I always go for tater tots because they're amazing. Lucci's an egg roll kind of guy when he's not throwing egg rolls at me on the show.
Launching them at
Yeah, exactly. But go check out the tap food. It's amazing. They do have piano bar tonight, which TxAg staff may or may not be making a little appearance out here at Piano Bar to celebrate National Signing Day being over with, because you know it's a stressful time for everybody up at the office. Lots going on. It's been
so
a busy
one day
morning.
That all of us come together and actually work.
We all come together as one big happy family, and everybody seems to be happy. It's been relatively drama free throughout the day. If you guys have any questions or comments, whatever, get them up here. Y'all have note cards on your tables, and I have some lovely interns that are walking around, and they'll collect those and bring them up to us. So if you have questions or anything like that, you can definitely write it down, and we will get to that. Lucci, let's go ahead and just start off because Josh Rogers, who we were kind of competing against with Ole Miss, did commit to Texas A&M just moments ago.
Yeah, nice to get that final piece to the puzzle. Josh Rogers, Ole Miss, OU was on him up right up until, really right up until the final week there. I've talked about him a lot, you know, 6'4.5", 308-pound guy with a 38-inch reach. For comparison's sake, that's longer reach than Jaden Peavy, who's the tallest guy in the class at 6'6". And, you know, it was he just stands out in terms of his upside potential and what he could be. He's not there. He's actually far from being there. But physically, he's further along than some guys that are getting ready for the NFL draft. He has some things that you just can't coach, and that's that size, that frame, and the quickness and agility for a man his size. And I think it's a great addition on a guy that doesn't have to play right away. Mm-hmm. If you need him to be a rep guy at the bottom of your D-tackle rotation this year, I'm sure he can do that if properly coached up and motivated. But really, realistically, this is a guy that you want to just go back and revisit a year from now. And I think he and Jaden Peavy are going to be absolute steals on the defensive interior for the Aggies.
Another commit that came in kind of late in the TxAg radio show, y'all didn't get to talk about him too much, was Michael Clemens. He was kind of a late ad, kind of coming up into that 11 o'clock hour, so I wanted to get your thoughts on Michael Clemens. Just sticking with the defensive.
Michael Clemens, thoughts on that is he's one of the more important guys in the class, one of the most important guys in the class at, you know, the 6'6 pass rusher off the edge there, 250 pounds. Another guy that OU and Bob Stoops personally went in on late to try to flip. Instant impact, he needs to be. I think he's going to be a hell of a lot better in year two than he will be in year one, but they need him to be good in year one and make a difference. And he has that potential. But, man, I can't wait to see him as a senior in 2018 at probably about, you know, 270 pounds after he's in the weight room with Mark Hockey for a year. And with a year of experience, reminds me a lot of a guy that Leone used to play with, Mike Montgomery, actually.
Interesting.
Who played a little while for the Green Bay Packers.
So then I guess out of that big list that we had, the only name we're now waiting for is Tyree Johnson. We're still waiting for that letter. And is everything, from what you know, still looking like things are going to go the Aggies' way?
Yeah, I mean, I know you would love to prey on some negativity.
I would not love to prey on negativity.
There's been no losses
today. I just have to
see
it from all angles.
You called it well, we all see it from all angles. You called it relatively drama-free. It's actually been absolutely drama-free so far. So he'll sign later, and then that's that for this class, 27 guys. The drama act, Alex, is actually, will it be, A, will a couple of these guests be here to join us? B, will it be a top 10 class or a top 15? Because right now A&M is teetering right on the cusp, you know, and they're done. Other schools still have, you know, might add a player or two that's not ranked currently. By done, I mean Tyree Johnson is already counted amongst that ranking because he's committed. But A&M right there at number 10 right now, the last I checked in the composite rankings there by 247, and it's number nine. Eight was OU. You're right there. Auburn's right there at nine. A&M at 10, and then right behind you was Miami, Notre Dame, Stanford. So, and then I think the next SEC team was Tennessee.
So basically, at this point, it's not going to matter what A&M does to affect their ranking. It's going to matter what's happening across the country.
Yeah.
So what other? I guess I want to call it drama, but I know you're going to say I'm being negative or trying to find drama.
But there's not drama.
But nationally, what other interesting? Okay. What are some of the things that have caught your eye over?
Marvin Wilson, they're waiting on. LSU's close has been really strong. You know, LSU and Bama, they just freaking load up on D linemen. Mm-hmm. You know, Alabama got a great one from Louisiana last night. LSU got Calavon Chase on, the pass rusher. They beat Texas for him today. And then Marvin Wilson, I don't know if he's chosen anybody in the last 5 minutes because we're doing this, but I don't know his time because he's not considering A&M, but from everything we keep hearing is LSU there too. So what a close for them. They pushed from that. They were right there ahead of A&M, a couple spots ahead of A&M, and then they went and they add Chase on, and if they add Wilson, they shoot up into a top five class. Mm-hmm. So then they separate, and they're mentioned alongside the Alabamas and Georgias of the world this year. But I think another big story was Texas' inability to close with Tom Herman, and then the quote he apparently said, where it's as hard recruiting there right now as like recruiting at Iowa State, which I scratch my head. I don't understand what he was saying. I don't understand what he was trying to do. It's Iowa State, except it's Austin, Texas versus Ames, Iowa, and you have unlimited resources. I think that was his way of saying, we haven't been winning around here. Mm-hmm. And maybe a way to light a fire under the donors and the decision makers to get, you know, fast tracked on some facility stuff. But I thought that was a very real eye opening comment, and really showed a lack of awareness and maturity as a head coach to be at the University of Texas at Austin and make a statement like that. Really surprising to me. And again, I go back to this. Kevin Sumlin was a very inexperienced coach when he got to Texas A&M, but he had literally twice as long as a head coach than Tom Herman did. Mm-hmm. And you can say, well, Herman was at OU under Urban Meyer when they won a national championship. Well, Sumlin was at Oklahoma under Bob Stoops when Stoops, I think they coached in two national title games. So as a head coach, Tom Herman is very inexperienced, very young, and I think we're going to sit here and watch him make a lot of mistakes, and I think today was one. And they didn't close strong at all. They really didn't. And I thought they would get Calavon Chase on, and I thought they had a shot at Walker Little once they could get in there and really work him. And those two guys, craziest stat I saw today, Alex, one of the state's top 10 players signed on to play in the Big 12 conference.
That's crazy.
People talk about players leaving the state. You can make the case that A&M signed four of the top 10. If you don't want to say that, at the bare minimum, Derek Tucker, it would have been four of the top 15 with Mond and Osmond counted in there. Mm-hmm. And we're all admitting that, hey, A&M needs to do better with those elite guys. And that's a group that signed probably four of the top 15. I mean, the entire Big 12 signed one of the state's top 10.
It's wild. It's really wild, especially when you think about all the schools that are just in this region and so close, it doesn't make any sense.
The problem is LSU signed, you know, Ohio State signing two or even three with Dobbins, who's outside the top 10, but that doesn't affect A&M very much other than, you know, because you can't just assume the Aggies weren't going to get those guys if Ohio State didn't.
Right.
LSU's the one that hurts. You know, they came in and did real work in state this year.
Another
trade-off's not the same. What A&M's doing in Louisiana is not what LSU's doing in Texas.
Right.
They need to make that a more even trade-off.
I hear what you're saying. You were talking about Texas. And
there's more loyalty, Alex, amongst high school. The high school people in Louisiana push them to stay there, for the most part, a lot more than the Texas people do here, and I think that's...
Which is weird, because the state of Texas has such a sense of identity that you would think that you would see that more so here.
Well, and I think a lot of that's up to the college coaches, whether it's Sumlin or Patterson or, you know, Matt Rhule now or Tom Herman. A lot of that's up to them. But there needs to be more state pride. But on the flip side, you go, hey, look at what happened in the state of Texas this year on the football field. It's hard. If Alabama went 5-7 two of the last 3 years, they're not recruiting well. They're not going to, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's a chicken and egg type thing. But, hey, at least A&M, they did better than the rest of the teams in the conference, and it looks like they're going to do better than all but maybe 10 teams in the entire country this year on the recruiting front.
One thing that Broninger said this morning on the radio show was he said that Toniel Carter said something along the lines of, I think, that he didn't really have any other options as far as going to Texas. And I think that just speaks a lot to the situation that they have there in Austin and just how the whole landscape has changed.
And that was kind of their that was their MO there.
Mm-hmm.
That was their bell cow, is Toniel Carter, and they got him, and he's a four-star running back from Houston, and he's the next Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams and Priest Holmes and the guy this year, Deontay Foreman, and he's next in the, let's meme this, let's Instagram this, let's hashtag this crap. You got him because A&M didn't want him,
mm-hmm.
and A&M said no, thanks. You got him because Chubb and the other running back, and I always forget his name, Gabe. The two running backs at Georgia, both of them came back. They didn't have room. It's like, hey, man, we signed you, but we don't have room. We can't bring you in on the midterm.
Right.
And that's the same stuff everybody's talking about numbers right now, Alex. That's what A&M was trying to avoid. The last thing Kevin Sumlin wants to do is that.
Right.
Is tell a kid no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Georgia did it. A&M said, hey, we took our running back. We got other needs.
Speaking of needs and numbers, we have to hit this quickly before we go to a break, but James White's transferring, does that open up any spots
and
allow some surprises maybe to happen?
No. They knew that for a while. And good luck to him. He graduated. He was a good team guy throughout. But that was a expected attrition, and they factored that into their numbers. I think the Aggies are going to have, right now, if you talk to people in Bright, I think the expectation is they're going to have about one spot in the spring, and they really wanted to hold that for a grad school transfer. You'd probably think offensive tackle or defensive end or a late exiting JUCO that they think can come in and help. And you're not talking about you're talking about someone that can come in and help along the D-line. If it's no lineman, it's going to be somebody that they think can start.
All right, well, we'll go to a break on that note. I've got a whole stack of questions up here, so y'all just keep sending them up here, and we'll just probably end up spending a whole segment on stuff from you guys. So we love to hear from you. This is the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We're live from the tap, and we'll be back after this.
Hurry into the Stretch Your Penny sale at JCPenney. Get 25% off Nike for the family. That's right. Get 25% off select Nike apparel and shoes for the whole family. Or get an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon on select apparel, home, shoes, fine jewelry, and accessories in-store and at jcp.com. These deals won't last long, so get to JCPenney now through Sunday for the Stretch Your Penny sale. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon required. Valid 21-28. Nike and some other exclusions apply. Extra 20% off subject to credit approval. Check jcp.com or your newspaper for coupon and details.
There's an Orange Opportunity Sales event going on now at WC Tractor, Brazos Valley's only Kubota Elite dealer. Get an M5 tractor with your choice of four models, each with clean Kubota diesel engines and your choice of transmission. And right now, you can get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 60 months. Visit one of their four Kubota Elite dealerships or check them out at WCTractor.com. Now through March 31st, 2017, call toll-free 1-888-794-4992 for details about costs and terms.
Washington County Tractor.
Crest Roofing and Remodeling reminds all listeners that last year over 50% of our children were bullied or teased. This daily ritual leaves them in despair, feeling like there's no way out. Be someone that a child can go to for help, and let's stop the intimidation now. This message is from Crest Roofing and Remodeling right here in College Station, specializing in residential re-roofs, insurance adjuster, and roof inspections. Call for free estimates at 690-4000. That's 690-4000. Crest Roofing and Remodeling, wishing everyone a safe and healthy 2017.
Nothing increases the value of your home like a new kitchen or bathroom. I'm Joe Orsak, and since 1998, Marblecraft has specialized in the custom fabrication and installation of granite countertops, cultured marble bathtubs, showers, and vanities in new and existing homes. Call me today at 846-3881 or drop by our showroom at the corner of Carson and Finfeather in Bryan. From tear out to make ready, Marblecraft can handle your entire project. At Marblecraft, we look forward to the privilege of serving you and your family.
This Friday, February 3rd, the Fightin' Texas Aggie hockey team faces off against the Texas Longhorns at Spirit Ice Arena. The Aggies need your support, and if you've never been to a live hockey game before, then this is your chance. The puck drops at 7:30 with tickets $15 each and $10 for students. Call, click, or visit Spirit Ice Arena for tickets at 693-3900 and spiriticearena.com. Come on out this Friday to Spirit Ice Arena and watch the Aggies beat the hell out of the Longhorns. 400 Holloman Drive in College Station.
On Sports Talk, Chip recently visited with the king of bubblegum rock, Tommy Rowe, about competing with the Beatles.
I was thinking about what I would do when I got out of the service to compete with all this great music coming from England. So my idea was to write a song, which I called at the time soft rock. And so I wrote Sweet Pea while I was in the service and recorded it when I got out, and it put me back in the charts. It was a big hit record for me.
Sports Talk, making memories, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We are live from the Tap on a Wednesday for National Signing Day. We have a special show installed for you guys. And we're just going to go ahead and jump out to the hotline right now where we have head coach Kevin Sumlin on the phone line. Coach, how are you today?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome. No complaints on this end. Everything's been going pretty good so far. So just how has everything been going in your eyes, and how happy are you so far with this 2017 class?
Well, we basically set out today to do what we wanted to do, which was hold all our commitments, which we've done, you know, with since last year, and then add another guy. And so we're real happy with this class, and I think it addresses the needs that we look to address, and that was the front on both sides, defensive line, offensive line, and then the linebacker group, and then build depth everywhere else.
Have you ever been a part of a signing day cycle, Coach, a recruiting cycle, where you didn't bring a visitor in on the final weekend and really had that class lined up and set up with almost a couple weeks before signing day?
No, it's never happened. But we've also never had 9 mid-year high school guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, our recruiting philosophy and technique changed a little bit last year, and we had guys that we targeted. We knew the number that we had of scholarships to be available. We never like to oversign, never have to make that phone call to the guy that, you know, we signed too many guys. So we're right on top of that number. I think, you know, the numbers that we projected to fill at every position, we've been able to do that across the board from quarterback all the way to our specialists. So we feel real good about where we are right now.
You mentioned those linemen, and you guys signed 10 of them. I know you were a part of some giant groups of offensive linemen, and by giant, I mean not numbers-wise, but the size of them at OU. This is the biggest one I can remember A&M signing. How long has it been since you've seen the Aggies? Have you ever seen A&M welcome a group with this much size up front on offense?
Not that I can recall across the board without them being junior college guys. You know,
yeah.
Luminor and Avery were big-time recruits, but they were junior college guys. They were 20-year-old guys. But these guys are 17 and 18. They're big guys. You see on those pictures on Twitter and Instagram, they make our coaches, me and Coach Turner, look like little bitty folks. So they're big athletic guys. We want to get some guys in here with, you know, this league's a physical league, and big stays big. So I think we achieved what we wanted to achieve with the size of in the front and on both sides.
And defensively, you guys closed it out with Josh Rogers, and we look at that, and the length y'all added in the defensive trenches, it seemed like a real point of emphasis when you see guys like Rogers and Peavy and Tyree Johnson, Michael Clemens, and those guys. How much of a priority was that for you in playing in the SEC West to add some of that length in the trenches?
It was a big deal. You know, you look at Kingsley Keke, what he's been able to accomplish, maybe not as highly recruited as some of the other guys that we brought in the defensive line, but because of his size and his length, he's been extremely effective in this league. And quite frankly, you know, we had got down here to the end. We had one or two scholarships down pushing the envelope. We had to make some decisions on who we really, really wanted. And, you know, there were some guys that we probably could have taken. We had some measurables that were important to us. And those measurables all leaned in favor of Josh Rogers, who was on his visit, was over 300 pounds, you know, was 6'5 and something, and, you know, right at 6'5, but he also had a 37-inch reach. So, you know, this is a big man that's athletic. There were other guys out there that we recruited, we looked at, but when it came down to it, you know, we were in a position to be pretty selective, and fortunately it worked out.
That entire defensive group gets high marks, but linebacker was a major need coming in. It felt like signed one last year. You guys were able to get three. Two guys that when you just put the tape in are just flat out SEC West football playing linebackers, in my opinion. One, the five-star Anthony Hines, and then a guy in Devodrick, Buddy Johnson, that y'all fought till the end for. How are you and John Chavis feeling today about you guys being able to upgrade that position in that room?
Yeah, you know, those three guys are very, very athletic, very physical. The guys that have great frames, all of them, they're going to put on some weight, but can play the game and understand it, and they're smart too, you know. So, you know, for us, two of the three are already here and in the middle of workouts and but going through spring football. And as I've said before, you know, our three mid-year guys last year really helped us win games. You know, Braden Mann had a 75% kickoff rate into the end zone last year. Colton Prater started every game at guard, and Travion Williams rushed for 1,000 yards. You know, so, you know, those mid-year guys, it didn't take me long to figure out. We got three that helped us. Why don't we just triple that number and see if we can get some guys in here that will help us next year? Maybe that'll translate to some more wins.
Well, and another thing that translates to wins in the no matter how much a line of scrimmage league it is, I mean, like you always talk about those guys, you got to have guys that make plays. And offensively, yet again, a pretty loaded class in terms of skill position talent. And you guys have like five, I think, if I'm not wrong, five of those types on campus already and signed a big class of receivers. Two guys that stand out to me in this cycle, you know, Kellen Mond and what he meant to not only addressing a need along with Connor Blumrick, but the class in general. And then Jamon Osmond and the significance of flipping him you guys way late, or not late, but kind of right when you needed the momentum and really – I think adding some real star power to that group.
Yeah, you know, Jamon and Kellen are guys that we've known for a while, you know, because they started here in Texas, in Houston, and San Antonio, and then you know, the recruitment of both of them was a big deal. But you know, let's not kid yourself. It also helps that Jamon was Kellen's roommate at IMG. So
yeah,
you know, he went to work on him. That was a big deal. Those guys that I think we had to replace, you know, our two graduates at wide receiver, Sabayu and Josh Reynolds, but also our two guys that left early, and Ricky and Speedy. And so I think our talent level and what we have coming in that addresses those needs and fills those holes with some guys that are young and talented. And as you said, Billy, you know, a number of those guys are here on campus already getting going, and we'll get through the 7-on-7s and spring football and be ready to roll next fall.
Coach, just from a maturity standpoint, when you look at the quarterback room, it seems to have taken a hit on that side with the loss of Trevor Knight. So just looking at the guys who are already on campus and then with the addition of, you know, Kellen Mond and Connor Blumrick, what's your confidence like that that quarterback position is going to – y'all are be able to fill it with somebody who has a head on their shoulders like Trevor Knight?
Well, I don't know that you're going to get a guy like Trevor Knight. You know, he is a different kind of guy. You know, this is a 23-year-old man. So, you know, that's part of it. You know, Jake's still here, and Jake's been around. He's the old guy in the room. I think he's done a great job as a teammate. You know, the two young guys coming in here are here on campus right now, which I think helps them. And Nick Starkle has done a great job being in the program for a year and gaining weight and being strong and knows the system. So, you know, they're all talented guys. You know, you got Nick and Kellen and Connor were all Elite 11 quarterbacks. So they're all competent. They're all talented. You know, from a maturity standpoint, you can't really say right now. You know, there's only one Trevor Knight. But from a talent standpoint, we're happy where we are.
Feels like you guys finally, in talking to Coach Mazzoni this morning too, that room is where exactly where you guys want it. I can't let you go without asking you about a couple guys that were not signees, but they were heavily recruited by you, let's say, in the last few months and will play a big role not only in recruiting but in the offseason. Tell us a little bit, because they're real behind the scenes, about Dennis Polian inside of Bright, and then Mark Hockey in the weight room, your recent hire.
Yeah, you know, we brought Dennis on last year and for recruiting organization, you know, using more of a pro model and making him a director of player personnel to evaluate and helps me with evaluation of our talent level currently. In regards to our opponents and what they have, and particularly in the SEC West and where we have to fill the gap. That's why I think you see our recruiting change a little bit far as not just good players, but also body type. And the ability for those guys to hang in there in the SEC West and be successful. So more of a pro-style approach with numbers and metrics really mattering, as well as the level of play and what they put on tape and how they play in games and in our camp and then character wise too. So, you know, more of a well-rounded approach to the process, more like a draft process. And as I said, I think, you know, what you saw at our last signee today is a product of that, of sticking to your guns and saying, hey, here's what we're looking for. We need this body type to be really, really successful in this league and not really jumping at some other things that may or may not have helped us. You don't know. But having a structure to do that, and then, you know, the addition of Mark Hockey, who, and four other guys in the weight room that our players are really, you know, feeding off of right now and you know, the way we're doing things a little bit different than we've done in the past, and I'm looking forward to the next month coming up here before we can make some more strides before we start spring football March 1st.
Awesome, Coach.
Right, Coach, we appreciate you coming on. I know it's a busy day, a big day for you guys, and I know I think you'll probably cruise on into the weekend and I would say start recruiting the 18 class, but I know you guys are already knee-deep in 18.
We started that 2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. I would say start recruiting the 19 and 20s, but I know you're already on that too, so.
Yeah, we might be the first time that we get a 19 this early, so.
Yeah.
You know, we got some guys that, you know, we're working at it. I think our structure is a little bit different from a recruiting standpoint. And I think it's paying dividends. I know it's a little bit different than it's been in the past, but to have that many guys committed last year, and then to go through this whole last month with everybody attacking, you know, us and our recruits and nobody leaving the program. I think that says a lot about the players and their parents. I think it says a lot about our coaches and the trust that's been built and about Texas A&M and what these guys are looking forward to.
All right, Coach. Well, thank you so much for your time. We know you're busy, and we're looking forward to seeing you this spring.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, guys. That was Coach Kevin Sumlin. I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you want to catch up, go to the Facebook page later because it'll be posted on the Facebook page later this week. We'll go to break on that note. This is the Bellucci Hour Lunch live from the Tap, and we'll be back after this.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by WC Tractor, your local award-winning Kubota and New Holland dealer in Bryan and Navasota. Creating more housing for college students in the Twin Cities has slowed the number of students entering the local public schools. That was among the observations of the local superintendents at last week's Chamber of Commerce Economic Outlook Conference.
You can travel the parts of our district that are near the university and see areas where homes that have been there for many years have been leveled and new townhome or quad-type facilities have been constructed.
Tim Roeke of Bryan and College Station's Clark Ely both believe the slowdown is temporary. In October of 2015, a College Station man was arrested for harboring a runaway and enticing a child. After admitting to those crimes, 24-year-old Robert Larson was convicted of possessing child pornography that was found during the investigation of the other cases. The Brazos County District Attorney's Office announced the judge that convicted Larson then sentenced him to 7 years of prison. Keep Brazos Beautiful has been educating residents since 1980 on how to keep the community clean, green, and beautiful. The new programs and events coordinator, Lacey Snow, says one way to get involved is with Texas Trash Off.
Given sites by the City of Bryan and City of College Station, and we're going to go out as a community and beautify our community. We're going to pick up litter and trash and anything that's on the side of the road kind of as an eyesore. So we're going to go out as a community and pick up and do our part to recycle.
Snow says the deadline to sign up your team of three or more is February 10th. You can go online to keepbrazosbeautiful.org. News is brought to you by WC Tractor. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
There's an orange opportunity sales event going on now at WC Tractor, Brazos Valley's only Kubota Elite dealer. Get an M5 tractor with your choice of four models, each with clean Kubota diesel engines and your choice of transmission. And right now, you can get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 60 months. Visit one of their four Kubota Elite dealerships or check them out at WCTractor.com. Now through March 31st, 2017, call toll-free 1-888-794-4992 for details about costs and terms.
Washington County Tractor.
Nothing increases the value of your home like a new kitchen or bathroom. I'm Joe Orsak, and since 1998, Marblecraft has specialized in the custom fabrication and installation of granite countertops, cultured marble bathtubs, showers, and vanities in new and existing homes. Call me today at 846-3881 or drop by our showroom at the corner of Carson and Finfeather in Bryan. From tear out to make ready, Marblecraft can handle your entire project. At Marblecraft, we look forward to the privilege of serving you and your family.
You love her to the moon and back, so treat your little lady to a night that is out of this world. Brenham National Bank presents the Daddy-Daughter Dance, benefiting the Children's Museum of the Brazos Valley on February 3rd and 4th at the Hilton Hotel Ballroom. It's a night you will treasure forever, so make your reservations now by calling 779-5437 or visit cmbv.org.
The Tap Front Porch Friday Happy Hour is back from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Get $5.99 a pound crawfish and $5.99 60-ounce pitchers of our domestic kegs. Commit this to memory. That's $5.99 pitchers and crawfish from 5 to 9 this Friday. But you gotta know that first come, first serve on the crawfish is in play. And if you don't like crawfish, don't worry. The Tap has a full menu to satisfy any appetite. So we'll see you on the Tap's front porch this Friday for their $5.99 Happy Hour from 5 to 9. For more info, find them on Facebook.
Get your show alerts, game score updates, and reminders on upcoming guests. Follow us at Zone 1150 on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We are live from the Tap on a Wednesday. I know, y'all get us on a Wednesday. It's so exciting. It is National Signing Day, so we have a special show going on. If you missed it, we just had Coach Kevin Sumlin call in to talk about his thoughts on the class so far. And it was really good stuff. So if you missed that and you want to catch up with it, go to the Bellucci Hour Lunch Facebook page tomorrow. We should be posting that tomorrow or Friday. I'm not sure. My intern girls up here are going to have to sort that out with me. But it will be on the Facebook eventually by Friday, no later than that. We are at the Tap, so just a reminder, they have food specials going on. They have the $7.99 burger basket, so go check that out. And then they do have piano bar tonight, which I know me... I don't. Maybe I'll go solo. Maybe I will go stag. But I know I'm for sure going to be here. I can't speak for the rest of the crew, but I'll be here at the Tap tonight for Piano Bar. I'm really excited about it to celebrate. We do have a special guest coming in shortly, hopefully. I don't want to spoil any surprises, so we'll just kind of hold off on that. But just be prepared. Be prepared for a special guest. Lucci, is that happening? Is the special guest happening?
See, you know, I don't like to make promises.
I know. I don't like to make promises either.
I'm like, you and Gabe want to do these big guest alerts, and I get it, but I just produce big guests. I don't.
Wait, you produce the big guests?
Yeah, actually.
You make the big guests yourself? Do you have like a big guest factory?
It's a big guest. Yeah, big guest factory. It's
like
over
it.
There in Rocky Creek.
That's awesome. Hey, I knew you had a side gig going.
I got to do something every once in a while.
I understand.
It was a good day for A&M.
It was.
A&M football, they got better today. Mm-hmm. And that's your goal every year. And you know, everybody's losing ground to Bama most years. There are years you can break through. You don't lose ground. They just stay the same. And you try to, you know, Alabama has ruined a lot of things for a lot of coaches in this league and college football in general.
And Alabama, you mean Nick Saban.
They were a play away from costing Clemson two national titles. Yep. You know, how would you have felt if Clemson doesn't make that play and Dabo Sweeney's going, man, I had a national title-worthy team, but it was in the Nick Saban era. So you compare it against the rest of the SEC because that's what you do. And then when you get that veteran team, you jump up and bite, you know, Alabama, and you look up and – you're undefeated in the SEC, and they have one loss, and they're wondering what happened. It's happened a time or two. You know, Auburn did it to them. A&M got them with Johnny Manziel a few years ago. But how did A&M do against the rest of the league? LSU had a really strong class under Edo. Mm-hmm. Georgia's in the East. They had a great class with a new coach and Kirby Smart. Right there, you had the same graded class as Auburn, same graded class as OU. You had you're ahead of the likes of Tennessee and Florida and some teams that you're really competing against year in and year out. And you're way ahead, noticeably ahead of Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Ole Miss, which is one that stands out to me because they have had some real players in Oxford over the last few years. And their recruiting classes have been really, really suspect down the stretch into these last couple of years. And I think Hugh Freeze and the NCAA cloud. And if they dip out, Auburn, A&M, LSU, who's going to rise up? And LSU's doing it right now. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. I have real questions about Ed O and his ability to sustain things there in Baton Rouge. Because it's more than just recruiting. It's a lot more than just that.
And I definitely
you have to have the actual guy.
Oh, snap.
Here's our special guest.
Look who it is. Look who showed up to College Station.
Our secret special guest.
Well, the Johnny Football has entered the building, in case you can't hear the cheers. They're definitely not cheering for us, Lucci. That's a fact.
No, it's been a while since we've got a standing O.
I know. We don't ever get standing O's. What are you talking about?
How you doing, buddy?
What's going on?
Not much. How's your day been? I saw you were at Bright and went around and hung out the football offices a little bit.
Get a chance to go back and say hello to everybody. So it was good. Walk around campus, see some old faces, be back and see a bunch of Aggies in this color, in this maroon, with all these Aggie rings, familiar faces. It doesn't get much better than this, you know. No matter how bad times get, no matter what goes on, I always have this place to fall back on.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing about A&M.
You look tanned up and rested. The beach treating you well out there?
Beach is treating me very well, for sure.
Johnny, you signing day today. Do you remember back that far, you and signing with A&M, and what kind of day that was like for you and your family and friends?
Yeah, it was really cool. I graduated early, so I got a chance to go through the process a little bit sooner. But, you know, I was talking to Coach Sherman the other day for probably 45 minutes as I was going down to San Diego. And just looking back on my career, my time here, you know, that man had such an influence on me. Obviously, you know, when I did get a chance to play, it was through Coach Summey. But, you know, Coach Sherman was really the guy that got a chance to instill a lot of morals, a lot of values, and really, you know, took a hard-ass mentality to us when we got there. For that guy to fly, I'll never forget him flying in to Kerrville, Texas on the plane, getting a chance to go to a barbecue spot and getting a chance to live out my dream of playing for you know, one of the biggest universities in the state of Texas. And to get a chance to play and not go to the University of Texas and come to play. It's awesome.
And we're talking about stars and things, and today, two-star Mike Evans, two-star Michael Bennett, both of them in the Pro Bowl this year. What do people miss on these things, Jay?
You know, it's hard. There's so many guys. There's so many, you know, people didn't really want to drive 40, 50 minutes to go see a guy out of Kerrville, Texas. You know, Mike was playing basketball, you know, doing his thing on the basketball court and really hadn't, you know, gone all in on the football route. So, you know, misses happen, but, you know, the best guys are the ones that, you know, find something from nothing. And I think, you know, we got a guy back who I ran into today who's one of the best faces I saw in the football building was Jimmy Turner.
Yeah.
That guy knows what he's doing on the offensive line front, and you know, that's where it's all started. So if you look at what he did with Jake, you look at what he did with Luke, with Sed, you know, with the Fetty, with all those guys, you know, he was still, you know, he was a great face for us and found Mike, you know.
Yeah.
So to be able to find Mike and me and him be on a scout team, you know, our first year, you know, Tannehill and the rest of the guys doing their thing, you know, we went out every day to try and, you know, make ourselves better, and we really put as much time as, you know, we could into it, because, you know, I think it ended up paying off one day, you know.
Johnny, you're probably one of the most, I mean, probably one of the best competitors anybody has ever seen play any sport. I mean, your drive and will to win is just, I mean, nobody can deny that. What, when you did come in and you were a three-star and kind of overlooked and maybe didn't get the attention that you deserved, was that a motivation for you?
Yeah, it was definitely a motivation. You know, I've been to all these camps. I've been to all these rivals, all these Elite 11, all these camps. And, you know, whether it was just being too short or whether it was just, you know, not going out and having a good day or bringing it every single time, you know, for whatever reason, I was a little bit overlooked. But, you know, once I got a chance to play my senior year and go out and, you know, have the success that we had, you know, my sophomore and junior year, and then to kind of build on that a little bit my senior year, you know, A&M came around. I remember Dat, and I remember Coach Sherman. I remember Coach Rossley and Coach Turner and all these guys coming to a game at Comerica Stadium in San Antonio. We threw the ball 75 times. It's at a state record. I mean, I'll remember it like it was yesterday. So definitely that, and definitely going out. You know, we won a lot of games from town and went into and played the biggest and best schools in San Antonio and competed day in and day out. So, I mean, you know, you went to Bernie. We got the best of you guys a little bit.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say
so.
That if you didn't.
No. My
Aleman still hurting from that.
You know
that
I live with Aleman now, right?
I definitely put up his head for now and forever, for sure.
Hey, Super Bowl, you're here in town. You wanted to be here, and you actually have business you're doing in Houston. What have you got going? Is it tomorrow or the next couple of days in terms of the signings you're going to be doing?
Yeah, it's Thursday and Friday in Houston. First day's at Katie Mills Mall, just – getting a chance to go back and sign some autographs. This is home for me. No, I didn't want to spend it in Houston. No, I wanted to spend it here. Mm-hmm. No, luckily, thank you.
Thanks for letting Griff out today.
Yeah, I took the dog out. I took a red eye in from L.A. and staying with Billy. So to get back here and you know, do some 7-on-7 with the guys. I talked to Coach yesterday. He was like, yeah, I want to come out and, you know, get around some of these young guys, because, you know, last time we had a freshman playing here, it worked out pretty well for us. So if that's the case this year, you know, I want to try and get around these young guys and help build them up as much as possible, because, you know, the thing for me, all I want is for this university to be as best as it possibly can be. You know, this is where my heart's at. You know, this is where my really life took off and my career took off, and I'll never forget that. You know, I'll never forget coming back from Alabama. You know.
Yeah. So, where does that rank on your all-time sports memories? Getting off that bus after that game?
Yeah, I was walking out of the locker room at Alabama. You know, I could always find my parents after the game, and I tell this story to a lot of people behind the scenes, but I could always walk out after every game prior to that and see my family and see my parents and give them a hug and kind of talk to them in a casual setting.
Yeah.
And after that game, I bet there were 10, 15,000 Aggies around our bus, shaking our bus, going wild. And then to fly in that night and see Kyle Field lit up with the lights on and have a whole welcome party there, And not to mention the probably 5,000 people that were at North Cade that night. Was a pretty good welcome party, too.
Pretty good numbers out there that night, too. The so you Super Bowl's coming up. I know you went and you watch the GOAT, Tom Brady, last weekend in New England, looked cold as hell. But what are your thoughts this weekend? Matt Ryan versus Tom Brady and the rest of the Patriot team.
Yeah, I mean, being around Kyle Shanahan my first year, you know, watching him be offensive coordinator, the way he works, the way he studies, the way he is so detail-oriented with everything in that offense, you know, it's going to be hard to stop them. But if there's one team out there that game plans better than anybody, that does things differently than anybody else, year after year after year, you know, it's the Patriots. And I think, you know, I have a hard time sitting here believing that Tom Brady's going to be suspended for the first four games of the year and not want Roger Goodell to hand him the trophy at the end of the year, because that's, you know, that's the mic drop. You know, that's the end of the story. And not to mention, you know, in my mind, throughout my generation, you know, he's the best quarterback that, you know, I've got a chance to watch with the most fire and the most, you know, competitive drive. And it's really what you look at in the position, and to get a chance to go to Foxborough last week. Not what I intended, not what I planned on doing, but nevertheless got a chance to do it, and it was still one of the coolest things I've got to do.
I remember that deal we did in San Diego, and I went out there, and you're sitting there. You were stewing over something you saw on your phone. I go, what is it? Nick Saban. Can you believe he said this? And I read it, and it was like the most harmless thing. It was actually like a pretty much a compliment of you. But you were looking for any motivation you could to get ready to play them again and win. That's what I feel like Tom Brady is. Like, there's a short list of guys that – no matter what you do, they can't lose that competitive edge. And what they did to him, like you said, you know he wants that trophy handed to him in the worst way.
1,000%.
How about Martellus Bennett there? Tell us that story real quick.
That was really cool. I was supposed to be going to Atlanta to go to the NFC Championship game. I wanted to see Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan. I had a buddy of mine that went to Abilene Christian that played on the Browns with us, Taylor Gabriel, who got cut by the Browns. And was playing for Atlanta, doing really, really well. I think the weather was really bad in Atlanta, and flights kept getting pushed back. So I looked for a last-minute flight to Boston, you know, end up coming in, getting a chance to make it, and I reached out to Martellus the day of. And, you know, he answers his phone. He texts me back right away. And Aggies taking care of Aggies was an absolute, you know, in full force right there. You know, the day of the game, of a huge game, probably one of the biggest of his career, you know, AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home to get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. After all the turmoil and all the things they've been through, you know, him as a person to been in the league for as many years as he has and finally get over the hump. I mean, you saw it in his face after the game. He's dancing with the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You know, he's having the time of his life. And that's what football's all about, you know. That's what this school is giving us a platform to go out and play ball and play a game that we love. And, you know, he doesn't forget where he came from. He doesn't forget his roots, and he doesn't forget the ring that he has on his finger either. So, you know, I really appreciate him for doing that. And hopefully get a chance to see him put another ring on his finger. You know,
well, and as you can see here today, nobody around here has forgotten you. And everybody here is wishing you the best of luck. And we're going to catch up with Johnny as this comeback unfolds. And we'll sit down and do you every step of the way. But you know how much we all, especially me, appreciate you coming out today.
Yeah. Doing this. Anything for Absolutely. You guys, anything for Tex Aggs, and anything for Aggieland.
Awesome. Well, let's go to a break on that note. When we come back, we'll finish up the show. We only have a couple minutes left. This is the Blue Chi Hour Lunch. We're live at the Tap on National Signing Day, and we'll be back after this.
For well over 10 years, Intercon has been telling consumers that vinyl windows are the best option for this climate. Now, there are a number of vendors offering a vinyl solution, but don't be misled. All vinyl windows are not the same. Changing in the windows in your home is a major investment that you only want to do once. Ask to see a sample window and use your common sense. Does the window look and feel solid and substantial? Look at how the window operates. Does it have a continuous balance system or a cheap setup with pulleys and strings? Ask about the U factor and solar heat gain coefficient, which are standard energy performance metrics. Finally, ask about who will be installing the window and who will be standing behind the warranty. At Intercon, we use the Burris TechView line of windows made to our size specifications installed by Intercon full-time employees. We stand behind our products with industry-leading limited lifetime warranties. Trust your neighbors at Intercon with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
The Tap Front Porch Friday Happy Hour is back from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Get $5.99 a pound crawfish and $5.99 60-ounce pitchers of our domestic kegs. Commit this to memory. That's $5.99 pitchers and crawfish from 5 to 9 this Friday. But you gotta know that first come, first serve on the crawfish is in play. And if you don't like crawfish, don't worry. The Tap has a full menu to satisfy any appetite. So we'll see you on the Tap's front porch this Friday for their $5.99 happy hour from 5 to 9. For more info, find them on Facebook.
It's easy to give a truly special gift to your Valentine with help from the Chocolate Gallery.
With over 30 flavors of gourmet chocolates to choose from, you can hand select an assortment especially for your sweetie. Or pick up Valentine cupcakes in flavors like red velvet, champagne and strawberry, and dark chocolate raspberry.
And, of course, you can never go wrong with chocolate-covered strawberries. You can pre-order or walk in and make your purchase.
The Chocolate Gallery, featuring Sienna's Cakes, open Tuesday through Saturday at 211 North Main Street in downtown Bryan.
And online at bcschocolategallery.com.
Every game,
home or on the road,
a Peggy softball can be heard on Willie 1550 AM.
I'm sailing away. Welcome back to the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We are live from the Tap on a Wednesday, closing out National Signing Day. We have special guest Johnny Manziel in the house. We're just going to finish it up with him. What's your favorite part about being back in Aggieland?
Just there's so many memories. You know, there's so many, you know, to come from being a three-star guy from finishing my first year after we played in the Car Care Bowl to not really know if I really wanted to play that much anymore. I remember reaching out to the baseball coaches, Coach Childress, and you know, saying, you know, I played in high school. Is this what I really want to do? And I was really close to giving it up. And then Coach Sumlin came in. I figured I'd give it another chance because of how the offense was and how it was kind of close to what I did. And, you know, I wrote this the other day in an Instagram post to kind of to George Whitfield. But the ride that I've been on from where I am today to where I started, it really is crazy. You know, I came from third on the depth chart after a spring here, first spring with Coach Sumlin. You know, luckily, thanks to Coach Kingsbury, you know, he really rallied behind me and really, you know, gave me a lot of confidence to come back, to go out to meet with George Whitfield that summer and get a little bit of confidence in my game, to come back and win the job in 8 days. And then, you know, as you guys will probably always remember, the first game we had here against Florida, you know, after having a game canceled, you know, the first game against Louisiana Tech canceled, which luckily for us, you know, I think we're glad that game did get canceled because they were a really good team. But, you know, that first touchdown against the SEC and the SEC against Florida, you know, I think everybody here will remember that day, how crazy Kyle Field was, and to go from that, still not even being like a solid starter. I had a for sale sign in my yard after that game.
I'd love to know who did that. We need to find that guy.
Yeah.
Texags, go to work.
Yeah. Speak now.
Yeah, Texags will find it. We know that. But just to go through that whole ride and that whole rise of that whole year, getting up 21-0 against Alabama and then finishing that game off, to go into the team at that end of the year, probably the hottest team in the country. And like I said, people don't really remember that year as much, but that game, Oklahoma smacked us the year before at Norman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember Ryan Boyles going down. I remember, you know,
C-Mike
getting hurt. Mm-hmm. And I was being a redshirt. It was really, really
Swope score right before halftime.
And then to go into the Cotton Bowl the next year and absolutely, you know, take the roof off, you know, Jerry World and do what we did there.
Yep.
Well, that'll last for me forever.
Yeah, yep.
Well, we got about a minute
left. Well, you left
a
lot of memories for everybody forever.
Absolutely. So. Johnny, any last words in these final 30 seconds?
I just want to say thank you to everybody here. You know, this is where my support comes. This place means more to me than I think you guys will ever know. You know, and through it all, I don't think I've done the best job of representing this university, but I can tell you one thing. Moving forward, I'll do any and everything to make sure that Aggieland and this place is at the top of my list taken care of for the rest of my life. So, you know, I love this school. I love everybody with the Aggie ring on their finger, and this place means the world to me.
Well, we're behind you 100%, Johnny. Thank you for coming in. I hope you guys enjoyed it. This was the Bellucci Hour Lunch Signing Day Show. We do have a show tomorrow, so we'll be back here at noon. We look forward to seeing you guys, and have a happy Wednesday.